price of Jamaica, and it's 10.75. Jamaica retained their title, 36.85, and the world record has been taken up.
You're listening to Going for Gold, the Olympics podcast on URN.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Going for Gold podcast here on URN. I am joined in the studio this morning by David, Shana, and we are joined by Nick, who is a 200 metre runner from the university's athletic society. Coming up on today's show, we will be talking about the major running events occurring in the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro this summer. We will be talking about the short distance races, including the 100 and 200 metre sprint and the 400 metre race. We will also be talking about some of the longer distance races in the 5,000 and 10,000 metre runs. We will be closing up the show by talking about the hurdle races and finally the 4x100 metre relay races. Now guys, there really is only one place to start when you talk about athletics at the Olympics, and that is of course the men's 100 metre sprint. Now, for the last two Olympics it has been dominated by one man, and that man is Usain Bolt. In the 2012 Olympics he ran it in 9.63 seconds and he does also hold the world record in 9.58 seconds. Do you guys feel that since this is his last Olympics, this is going to be his final, you know, his final hurrah, he is going to go and try and break the world record again?
Me personally, I think he's sort of he's past an age where he can actually sort of break the world record, but I think he's just going for the legendary status. I'm going to hold all three of the sprint medals at three Olympics. That's what I personally think he's going for.
I can only agree. I can't imagine at his age now. I mean, what is it, 8 years older than what he was in Beijing when he was this. He wasn't a young unknown at the time, but he wasn't. He was a talent and one to look at. And now we've had your, you know, 8 years worth of running. He's breaking. I mean, that's not even his fastest 100 meter time. Is the 9.58 fastest 100 meter time is a little over 9.2, which he does in the second half of his 200 meter.
Yeah,
and obviously that's from a running start, so it's not quite the same. But like, he's not going to be able to replicate that with age, no matter how hard you try.
So do you guys feel that perhaps maybe someone like Johan Blake or Justin Gatlin might be able to take the lead?
I don't think so. I think he'll win, but he won't break a world record. I think they'll close it up on him, but he'll still win.
So now moving away from the men's and looking at the women's 100 metre sprint. Now Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, also from Jamaica, won the 100 metre sprint in 2012 in London in 10.75 seconds with Carmelita Jetta from the USA in second in 10.78 seconds and Veronica Campbell-Brown, who I believe is also from Jamaica, in 10.81 seconds. Now that world record currently stands at 10.49 seconds and that has been unbeaten since 1988. Do you guys feel that, you know, it will be the same three contenders, or is there perhaps someone else who could perhaps challenge for the crown?
Personally, I find it's a one horse race in the women's 100 meters. I think Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce has got it in the bag. With regards to getting to the world record, I think it's almost near impossible because it was a world record set by a questionable athlete who unfortunately we can't test because I think she passed away. So we're unable to test it, so we can't even rescind that title. So I think she's guaranteed for the gold.
Do you not feel that perhaps the Holland athlete Daphne Schippers might be in with a chance after winning the 100 metre sprint in last year's World Championships?
Schippers is good. Schippers is very good considering she's coming from a heptathlon background. But I think she's more nailed on for like the competing for the 200 metres. But I just think Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce with her power will just streak away with the 100 metres.
I think that's it. You say, you know, coming from that heptathlon background, you're not really used to kind of shorter races. You don't need, because it really is the key in the shorter races with 10 seconds worth of action, as it were. But if you start off, if you've got the power to start and get up to speed quicker, you're almost certainly, I mean, that's 5 seconds gone. So if you're coming from that heptathlon background, it's going to be much, much more difficult at Rio.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that it could be broken in the future. Although it might not be broken this year, it will be broken in the future.
Yeah, okay, so now moving away from the 100 metres and talking about the 200 metres. Now, Nick, this is the sport that you currently compete in, and we are going to be talking about the men's. Obviously, Bolt won that as well in 2012, and he also won it in the World Championships last year. Is there anyone that can beat Bolt to this title?
With the 200 metres, Bolt's sort of semi-weakness, I wouldn't call it a weakness, it's his probably weakest quality is his start, and with 200 metres the start is less significant. So when it comes to raw leg speed, but no one can even touch Bolt, so I think Bolt's nailed on for the 200 metre gold by quite a distance as well. If anyone's going to get anywhere near him, it'll be Gatlin again.
How do you prepare yourself going into a race?
Well, it honestly depends on the athlete. You see people like Bolt just messing around playing with the crowd, and you see people like, I don't know, Tyson Gay, who will just focus, they'll pretend that nothing's around them. For me personally, it's, I pretend like nothing's around me, I just focus on what I have to do, and focus on like what I'm going to do around the bend, focus what I'm going to do when I get onto the straight. But honestly, it's different for every athlete.
Okay, so now moving on, of course, to the women's 200 metre sprint. Now, Alison Felix won that in 2012, and she did that in a time of 21.88 seconds, with Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce coming in second in 22.09 seconds and Carmelita Jetta finishing in third in 22.14 seconds. Now, again, the world record is currently 21.34 seconds and that hasn't been beaten since 1988. Now, you know, these world records have been going on for some time now, and like we said about the women's 100 metres, do you guys feel that it could be challenged this year in the Rio de Janeiro Olympics?
Definitely. It's not that far out, really. It was like a few seconds out, so I reckon it's definitely got scope to be beaten this year.
Yeah, you have to remember that athletes train for 4 years basically to prepare for the Olympics, so you never know if one of these athletes is at their peak, Daphne Skippers or Alison Felix. I think they can get close to it. It might maybe not this year, but maybe in the coming years.
What do you think that the atmosphere will be like over there in Brazil?
Oh, I can't even wait. I don't even know how to explain it. Being in Brazil, for one thing, I just think it's going to be full of culture, full of, like, colour, mainly. I just think the crowd is just going to be going wild. They might not necessarily know what's going on the track, but they're not going to matter. They're going to see someone win a race, and they're all going to go crazy.
So now moving on to a bit of a longer race. It is the men's 400-metre race now. Kirani James won that in 2012 in a time of 49.55 seconds. And Liguellen Santos came in second with 44.46 seconds and Lalonde Gordon in third in 44.52 seconds. Now, Michael Johnson of the USA is currently the world record holder with a time of 43.18 seconds. Do you guys feel, again, you know, will this be the year that finally gets broken? That has been standing around for quite some time now. Do you think that there are a couple of runners that have it in them to beat it?
I think Kirani James has the potential to beat it, but at some point in his career, because Michael Johnson always says that this kid has a lot of potential, but he has the dirtiest technique I've ever seen when it comes to running. He's just all over the place. And Michael Johnson said if he can clean that up, he can get nearer to it, hopefully. Yeah, I can see Kirani James doing that soon. Maybe not at this Olympics, because I feel like he's still very, very young, and he has plenty of his career left.
Now, looking at the World Championships last year, of course, Van Niekerk won the gold in the World Championships with a time of 43.48 seconds, which, you know, he came close. He was about 0.3 of a second from beating the world record. Do you think that this is his chance to shine, maybe upset the likes of Kirani James and Liguellen Santos?
Well, if ever there's a time for an underdog story, it is the Olympic Games, and you can't think that if he's run so close to the record in the World Championships that he's not going to have, you know, with everyone wants to see it. I mean, everyone wants to see it anywhere, but you're never going to be more televised and more people watching you and more people supporting you and more people from your own country just being aware of you than at the Olympic Games.
Okay, so now looking at the women's 400 metre race now, Sanya Richards-Ross won that in 2012 in 49.55, and Great Britain's Christine Ahuragu finished second in 49.70 seconds. The world record currently stands at 47.60 seconds. Now, we normally talk about all of the athletes. I just want to concentrate on Christine Ahuragu. You know, she's always been there or thereabouts. She's been consistent, and of course, you know, she finished eighth at the World Champs last year in Beijing, which was kind of disappointing. But, you know, what do you think that she needs to do to bounce back, to, you know, be competing with the likes of Sanya Richards-Ross to perhaps win the 400 metre race?
The funny thing I find about Christine Ahuragu is you can see her in the years between the Olympics competing at events, and she seems almost like she's a different person, but when it comes to the big races, Christine Ahuragu turns up. And I reckon at the Olympics, the thing about Christine's technique is the way she runs the 400 metres, it's always the same pace throughout the whole 400 metres. It never changes, really. And obviously with 4 years training, that's hopefully going to get her fitness to the point where she can compete. So if anything, I think she's going to turn up, and I think she's going to compete for that gold medal.
I mean, I know a lot of these races are very competitive, but when you look at the World Championships, Alison Felix won gold in a time of 49.26 seconds, and first to eighth place was only separated by about 1.5 seconds. So, you know, they're all within 1.5 seconds of each other, and they all know that if they gave it that extra push in the last 100 metres, then they could all feasibly win the gold medal in the Olympics. Do you feel that this could be Uhuru's year to bring home the gold medal for Team GB?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like, she's going to be training for a long time, and she'll definitely have... She has the time to do it. She has the mentality to do it. She can do it, and I think with everyone backing her, she'll be able to do it.
OK, so now we're going to talk about a couple of the long-distance races, and now... Obviously, when we talk about the 5,000 and 10,000 metre races, when you talk about 2012, it really is only one name, and that is, of course, Great Britain's Mo Farah, who won both the 5,000 and 10,000 metres in 2012. He won the 5,000 metres in 13 minutes, 41 seconds, 0.66. He also won the 10,000 metres in 27 minutes and 30 seconds, which, you know, it's just astonishing, you know, how these guys can run for that long and keep up a brilliant pace, and, you know, to run 10,000 metres in less than 30 minutes is absolutely insane. Do you guys feel that he can keep it up, or do you think that perhaps one of the Kenyan runners can perhaps overtake him?
From what we've seen of Mo since 2012, since that phenomenal performances from him, you know, plural, he appears to have been doing even more, and maybe it is because of the type of racing of the other competitors, but I haven't heard as much in the same spheres, you know, of your marathons and of your world championships. Mo Farah is still doing very, very well, so I'd like to think he could still do it.
I feel like the only way that people try to beat Mo Farah nowadays is by teaming up. You often see in the races the Kenyans sort of bunch together, saying, like, they're all talking to each other throughout the race, saying, what can we do, but Mo Farah is just a step above them. He always knows where to be and when to be there.
If we move away from the men's and talk about the women's 5,000 and 10,000 metre runs, Mesrour Defar won the 5,000 metres in 2012 in a time of 15 minutes and 4 seconds 0.25, with Vivian Cheruiyot in second in 15 minutes and 4 seconds 0.73, and Tirunesh Dibaba in third place in 15.05. So do you guys feel that will be again the similar lineup? Now, I don't know a lot about the women's long distance racing, but what I do know is that, you know, they can run a lot faster than I can, and a lot faster than I could ever dream of. Just pointing out a performance from the World Championships, Almaz Ayana won the gold medal in the World Champs. Do you think that she can perhaps carry on her form into this year's Rio Olympics?
I'm not an expert on the women's long distance, but for me personally, I think Tirunesh Dibaba, based on what I've seen her do, I feel like she can win both of these races. Even though she in 2012 she didn't seem to do what I felt she could do, I feel like Tirunesh Dibaba can win both of these races because she's like got legendary status. I think she's got a world record in one of the fastest times ever in one of these events, so I feel like she can do it.
You mentioned Tirunesh Dibaba. Now, she is obviously she's the reigning Olympic champion for the 10,000 metres, and she won it as well in 2008. Do you feel that perhaps Dibaba will be able to once again win the Olympic gold, or do you feel that one of the other runners might be able to overtake her?
Tirunesh Dibaba, whenever I've seen her run, I always find that she sticks in a group, but she has one of the quickest kicks I've ever seen. So basically, she'll get to the last lap and she will just kick away from these people. All she'll do is keep pace for the majority of the race and find a way to just kick off and win the race at the end. And I feel like she'll just do exactly the same. I feel like she's got this in the bag, the 10,000.
Now, we're going to move back down to a shorter distance race, and we're going to talk about the women's 100-metre hurdles. Now, I was saying outside of the studio with Shauna and Nick that, you know, obviously you'd think that having, you know, these 1-metre-high hurdles in front of you when you're running 100 metres will slow you down by, you know, 5-10 seconds. But when you look at the last Olympics, you look at Sally Pearson, who won in 2012, and she did it in 12.35 seconds, which is just about I think it's about 2 seconds slower than 100 metre sprinting for the women's, which I find phenomenal. And then you look at the likes of Dawn Harper, who finished second in 12 seconds 0.37, and Kelly Wells finishing third in 12.48 seconds. Now, we were having this discussion, why is the gap between the 100 metre hurdles and the 100 metre race so little? What is it about the race that makes it so that these athletes can run just about 2 seconds slower?
Well, the reason you'd think they're running slow is because you'd think they're losing pace as they're actually doing the hurdling, as they're actually going over the hurdles, whereas it's about 2 or 3 steps. Yeah. In a race. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. It's all about the steps, that you are doing less steps. So,
But it's the equivalent time. How long is it taking you to slow down, get back up to speed and take that number of steps? And really, per hurdle, it's maybe a third of a second extra than it would be if you were just flat out running it. So over the course of 10 hurdles, it's you know, 2 or 3 seconds. But that's why it's not as big as you'd think it is, because it's not that much more to run at full speed and jump over a hurdle, because you're taking out steps as you're doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
And with hurdles, it's like an art form, the way that I see hurdling, because I wouldn't say that they actually jump over these hurdles. I'd say that they stride over these hurdles, as in like they have a straight leg and it lands, and then the leg just follows through, and now that follow-through leg just becomes another stride leg. So if anything, they're just carrying on running with just a little bit of a pullback on the hurdles.
Just a quick question before we move on to talking about the men's hurdles. What kind of physical attributes must the hurdle athletes have compared to, you know, say the 100-metre runners and the 200-metre runners? Because I'm not really an expert, but you'd think that if Usain Bolt can run 100 metres in, you know, sub 10 seconds, why can't he run the hurdles in sub 10 seconds? Why isn't he doing it?
Sub 10 seconds, I think, is one thing, but to win the hurdles, I think, is why couldn't he do that? I think there's something in the height of the athletes, and I know Bolt is quite tall, but there's something about the length of your legs, the fact that you're able to, as you say, stride. It isn't a jump. It's not about how much power you can put in those legs. It's about how you can stretch them almost, and how you can carry that in such a way that the technique is time-wise very different to if you just purely run it. So I think you've got to train for that. I don't think it's something you can do you've got to train solely for that. It's not something you can do in conjunction with other events, I think.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about the men's 110-metre hurdles. Now, Aries Merritt from America won in 2012 in 12.92 seconds, with Jason Richardson in second in 13.04 seconds, and Hansel Parchment in third place in 13.12 seconds. Aries Merritt is currently the world record holder. It wasn't in the Olympics where he set the world record. It was a year later where he set a time, or it was later on in the year, sorry, where he set a time of 12.90 seconds to beat the previous world record. Now, Sergei Shubnenkov won the gold in the World Championships, and he will be looking to, of course, challenge for the gold medal, like every athlete is. But do you feel that we will see Merritt's world record broken this year, or will it be one of those that stands for quite some time?
Well, if you just think of the question you asked before about why the time difference is what it is, that's a time difference of 3 seconds on the men's straight 100 metres, and that would be because the top speed that they can't reach during the time, they've only got 3-4 steps before they hurdle each one, the top speed that they don't reach is much greater. So these, I don't know if your time from the world records is going to, again, in the atmosphere, in the stadium, even in the conditions, you know, that's one thing that hasn't actually been mentioned, is that the conditions in the changing games between Rio and London, that's definitely something that's going to come into it, I think, the conditions there. And I'm mixing questions a lot, but I don't think you'll see a world record broken in Rio in an event like that. But I think it'll be a bit of a closer race than it would be.
I think I disagree. I think it could, because in 2012, it was not 12.92, and then he then won later. He took off 0.02 seconds. So I think that there is still scope to even like take off 0.01 of a second. Like you could still break the record just by doing 0.01 of a second.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to the final couple of events of this first podcast, and we're going to be talking about the relay races, both the men's and women's. Now, we'll start off with the men's, and, you know, when you talk about the relay in the last couple of years in the World Champs and, of course, the Olympics, there really is only one team that has been coming away with the gold medal, and that is, of course, Jamaica. You know, the Jamaican squad as a whole is so consistent. You know, they ran in 2012, they did 400 metres in 36.84 seconds, which set a new world record and a new Olympic record in the process, and the American team finished second, but they were subsequently disqualified. Obviously, Tyson Gay involved in some drug abuse, but Trinidad and Tobago finished in third. Now, can anyone beat the Jamaican powerhouse, as it were?
Simply, well, no, because they've got three of the four fastest in the world, and another one who's about fifth or sixth. You know, barring them making a massive mistake with the baton handover, which would be a massive shock, and that's more Britain's forte.
Yeah.
You know, barring them making a massive mistake somewhere, you just cannot compete with them when it comes to trying to break the sector times, because it's just not going to happen for anyone else unless Jamaica make a mistake.
Yeah, with the relay, it's always between the Jamaicans and the Americans, and I always see the Jamaicans as raw talent, whereas the Americans work on precision. And when it comes down to it, if all the Jamaicans need to do is get their baton round, and their raw speed will get them over the line first.
Okay, so now moving on to the final event, of course, the women's 4x100 meter relay. Now USA and Jamaica again dominate the scene when it comes to the women's relay. Now USA won in 2012 in a time of 40.82 seconds, which of course they did set a new world record for the women's 4x100 meter sprint in the London 2012 Olympics, with Jamaica finishing in second in 41.41 seconds and Ukraine surprisingly finishing in third place in 42.04 seconds. Now Jamaica did win the World Championships last year in the 4x100 meter sprint, with America coming in second place, and Team GB's women's narrowly missed out and they finished fourth. They missed out by, I think it was about half a second or so to the third place team. Do you guys think that they will be able to break into the gold, not the gold medal, but definitely try and challenge for the bronze medal, maybe even the silver medal, if, you know, the Americans or Jamaicans slip up?
I think it was actually a really surprising performance by them. I remember watching that, just thinking, like, these girls can do it. I feel like they could get a medal, and it was really, really unlucky not to. But for me personally, I honestly don't think that they can this year. I just feel like the other teams will be too strong. I think this women's British sprinting, we only have one probably world-class runner in women's sprinting for the Brits, so I honestly think we can try, but I think we'll be in the final, I think, but I just don't think we'll get a medal, unfortunately.
You're indestructible.